And now we take you back to the beginning, when all races were one. God spoke of one who would come to set us free. His name is Jesus.
When we speak about the fall, we mean when Adam and Eve gave way to the temptation of the devil, sold out the human race to the overcoming power of Satan and sin, and bequeathed us a legacy of misery and sadness that God never intended the human race to have. And right at the time when Satan, as it were, was rubbing his hands with glee, God came into the garden and said, "Adam, where are you?" And hard on the heels of the huge defeat that the human race had just suffered came an amazing promise that caused alarm in the camp of hell. For God said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He," that is the seed of the woman, "shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." The seed of the woman was going to suffer great pain. And so right in the beginning of the human race, there is the first signpost of the Messiah, that somewhere in the history of the human race was going to come one who would be the seed of the woman and who was destined to lead the human race in great conflict and win it for the glory of God and for our great benefit.
The world is looking for a hero,
and the King of Glory.
Long before the birth of Christ, it was prophesied that the Messiah would come to call for himself a people who would serve him, a people who would love him.
Book of Isaiah is one of the most remarkable in the whole of the Old Testament. Chapter 53, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Your sins, my sins, sent Jesus Christ to the cross. Every human being can say that. He was wounded for our transgressions. Do you want to know what God thought about your sin? Take a look at Calvary. Take a look at the events that preceded it, the flogging and so forth. And look at the awful suffering and understand it was for you he did that. Every sinner can say that. I'm one of those who can say he died for me. And so in this chapter 53, we have the testimony of this servant, the special one, who would be a sacrifice for sin.
"I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown."
Now, when you realize that Jesus Christ was not an accident in history, he was not a deluded man. He was not a self-deceived man. He was not a satanically deceived man. I mean, someone has put it this way. He was either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. He either was a chronic liar, or else he was self-deceived or satanically deceived. Meant well, but totally wrong. Or else he was who he claimed to be. And his words and actions are not those of a lunatic. For he did mighty supernatural acts that only could have been wrought by the power of God. If you're a lunatic, you try doing that. It doesn't work. See, Christ was invested with divine credentials.
Is it true today that when people pray, cloudless skies will break, kings and queens will shake? Yes, it's true.
I remind you, in the book of Hebrews, in the first chapter, it said, "God, who in various ways in times past spoke to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son." And Jesus is the prophet of all prophets.
Jesus loves you.
Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky.
I want us now to come to Psalm 2, verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Tell that to the superpowers. Now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. That's an act of submission. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his anger is kindled just a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. What an awe-inspiring word. There's going to come someone who holds a particular decree direct from the Father. But Jesus Christ is coexistent with the Father. He is in all points equal to the Father when it comes to divine attributes and being. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Awesome statement in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. All right. And this Son has these words said to him by the Father. You are my Son. Today I've begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations. There is only one person in humanity that has the title deed to the nations, and that's the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the title deed. Many nations, many superpowers have vied for world domination. Well, they're all pipe dreams. There's someone who's got the title deed, and he will reign. Glory to God. God chose to bring his man into human history. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made under the law, born of a woman. And there he grew up, sinless and holy, from the line of David. And he is destined to rule the nations. And then he suffered, as it says in Isaiah. And then he went down into Sheol, the realm of the dead. He went down into the righteous part of Sheol, and there the saints of the ages past rejoiced as they saw the one. Moses saw the one of whom he prophesied about a prophet coming. David saw the one that was his descendant and yet also his Lord. And he came into Sheol, into the place where the dead wait for the resurrection. Because remember, Jesus was fully Son of Man. He had to be partaker of death, that he through death should deliver those who all their lifetime were in fear of death. You'll find that in the book of Hebrews. He had to partake fully of human experience. Don't take Calvary cheaply. Don't take cheaply everything Jesus did, because he did it for you and for me. How much then we should live for God's glory? Just as he was faithful to do it for us, we should live faithfully for his glory all through our life. Praise the Lord.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love.
And then came the end of the 3 days. He goes up to the gates of Sheol and says, devil, give me those keys. And Satan is no longer bluffing, because they're snatched out of his grasp. The door is swung open and Messiah goes out, the glorious conqueror. He took them out, took them free. And Sheol, which was down, is empty. And the saints now wait in the presence of God above, waiting for the resurrection, because the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Paul said, I long to be with Christ, which is far better. Glory to his name. He's called in Corinthians the last Adam, because he came to undo the damage that the first Adam did. How can I know the glory of God in my life? How can I experience God's touch in my life? As I'm speaking to you, I just feel such a thing of compassion in my heart. How can I see worked out in me a fraction of the promises in the Bible? I want to tell you a wee secret. God loves to invest himself in the most frail the most shaky, the most risky, the most broken of people and circumstances. Because that's where His glory shines out the most.
I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and Maker of earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son.